Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
Thank you for joining us and welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. Whether you're tuning in from one of our Minnesota radio stations, our national broadcast, or from a podcast platform, we are glad that you are here. Today, we're spotlighting a Minnesota company that has stepped forward in a meaningful way to support those who serve. Walser Automotive Group has recently been recognized as a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon company, a designation that reflects a strong commitment to supporting service members, veterans, and military families in our communities. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon isn't just a title, it represents action. It represents employers who intentionally create policies, culture, and opportunities that support our military community. Joining us today to talk about what this means in real terms are Sherry Schultz, Chief Human Resources Officer and Executive Vice President of Walser Automotive Group, and Greg Davis, General Manager and Vice President of Walser Toyota in Bloomington. Sherry, Greg, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, and congratulations on the designation.
Thank you. Very excited to be here.
Thanks for having us, Doug.
Yeah, you bet. Now, the interesting thing is you're in, and today we are testing out the brand new studio space provided to us by iHeartMedia. So we might work through some kinks together here, but so far so good. We've done some testing, and our engineer, Zach Halverson, has come in and made us all feel comfortable. So I think it's going to be a great show. And so again, welcome. We're glad that you're here, and we're thankful for the work that you all do. So what I want to do is just kind of ground us just a little bit and get to know each of you a little bit. And Sherry, I want to start with you because you're a military spouse. So tell us a little bit about your experience and, you know, military life for you.
Yeah, I am the proud spouse of a 25-year veteran who recently retired. And he was a chief warrant officer, a calling for him. He was MP as well, but then became a warrant officer. Deployed 5 times, did 4 Iraq, 1 Afghanistan. And so I think, you know, it's been in the family, as they say, for generations. His father, his father's father, his uncles, his brothers, all in. So for me, it is a part of my life every day. But I also, from a passion perspective, early in my career as an HR professional, I always felt akin to the employment that the military would provide so many. And watch transitions happen that maybe didn't go as well from an employment perspective. So even before I met my husband, he thinks he's my muse on this for sure, but I actually had a lot of passion around this as well prior to meeting him. I did a lot of recruiting work on behalf of some of the companies I worked in at a very young age because I felt that it was so, so important for veterans to have that next step and, you know, transition out into something awesome. And so I think employment is one of the greatest things that you can do. It gives you purpose. And so I really wanted for veterans who had transitioned out of the military to find something equally as inspiring. And so I dedicated a lot of my early career to recruiting veterans as well. So I've been doing it for a bit. I'm very passionate about it.
And did he serve in the active component? Was Absolutely. He a local?
Yeah, or active component.
Yeah. Yep. Well, thanks to him for his service and thanks to you for your service and your sacrifice, because we do know that sacrifice comes along with being a family of a serving service member. So thank
Absolutely
you.
Absolutely does. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate that. All right, Greg. So on the other end, you're a parent of someone who's serving. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, thanks for having us again here. For me, I'm on the other side of the journey, like you said. Got a young daughter who's active duty. She got married while she was in the ROTC program at college, so kind of got a bonus out of the deal. So my son-in-law and her are both actually getting stationed now to Fort Bragg, active duty. They're going to be in the Corps of Engineers. I think he's going to end up in the 82nd Airborne, and she's in the 20th or 27th. I still new to the military. I'm learning all the jargon and what they do. And so for me, it's just every day I'm asking a lot of dumb questions about things that a lot of people in the civilian world just don't understand. And one of the things I think that we're going to talk about today is what is that like to transition in, whether you're active duty or like in the Twin Cities here, we have a big contingent of guards, National Guard folks. So how can we offer that first choice or one of the top choices of a place to land when you're thinking about Do I need to have a career while I'm in the Guard, or what do I do next? What's that next step look like? And we want to be at the top of the list for the right reasons.
Right.
And I think we offer some great things that we'll probably get to at some point today.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We'll dive into all of that kind of stuff. And I just want to reassure you that even after a 32-year career, there's still acronyms and jargon and things that are used where I'm like, what the heck is that again? So you're not alone in your quest to have a full level of understanding. And Sherry, I bet you've had that same experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about Walser Automotive Group, right? So kind of set the stage. I don't know which one of you wants to take this, but let's set the stage so we can understand what Walser Automotive Group is. You know, as we were sharing kind of ahead of, during the lunchtime here, I was doing the quick numbers, right? So at least in Minnesota, I know we've got 11 cities and 20 dealerships, right? But tell us more about Walser.
Yeah, so I'll give you a quick overview, although I cannot sing the accolades as you would imagine of this family that's been doing this for over 75 years in the Twin Cities. So to see what they've built is pretty incredible, actually. So we are 2,000 employees, $3 billion, yes, 20 dealerships, but 30 rooftops because we do a bunch of other things as well, collision and glass and rental car, and always striving to impact consumerism in a very positive way. The Walsers are known for a haggle-free, one-person, one-price, innovative style of transacting. So it is truly a pleasure to work in the community around, you know, automotive and not be something that people detest or fear or don't enjoy. For me, the 2,000 employees is what really has been an incredible thing to work with and help grow. And our employees are – there's such a diverse array of careers that you can have, but also the implications that we have around inclusivity and bringing your whole self to work is really just – I have such an incredible partner in our CEO, Andrew Walser, to do those things. So as we open new stores and we attract people into our work group, we want to look like the markets that we serve, and we want to embrace the employees and the customers in a way that is very authentic and genuine. So I've been here about 8 years and, you know, watched us grow tremendously from a brand perspective, but also the volume and the consumerism and the repeat business. So I can speak to the people side and what I've seen and how vast the opportunities are. Greg is he's a founding member of sorts, so he can speak a lot to the business as well and what he's seen.
Yeah, perfect. Let's hear it, Greg.
Yeah, so I'm very blessed to have worked for this organization my entire adult life. I'm a third-generation automotive person. My grandfathers both worked in the business. One was a dealer himself, and the other was a technician. So my parents met at the dealership. You know, my dad was working on cars next to his dad, and my mom was a cashier. So love, you know,
wow,
sprouted its way there. And then, you know, my dad then, you know, worked for a manufacturer for many years. And so I was around dealerships as a kid, and the Walser family was nice enough to give a kid like me a job when I was in high school and then in college. And so I just stuck with it, and they allowed me to grow my career within them. And I think it's just a testament to who they are. They're very progressive, very forward-thinking in how they handle the customer, how they handle the employee, giving people like myself to grow their careers over many generations and provide for my family opportunities and for the families that we support. So we're pretty excited about this. I think one area that we want to get into today certainly is in the last couple of years, mainly because of this lady next to me here, we've really leaned into the veteran community. I think it's something we maybe didn't understand fully until Sherry came on the scene about 7-8 years ago. Is it 7-8 years now?
Mm-hmm. 7-8 years.
And now me being thrust into being a parent of a soldier. So it's pretty cool to learn about all these people and what they're doing and how do we get them to join us someday if that's the right decision. And I think we have a great story to tell, and it's the right thing to do. You know, people that are coming out of the military, again, if they're in the Guard, which is a big thing in this area here, we don't have a lot of bases around Minnesota, you know, maybe in the Dakotas or places like that. So it's a different angle maybe. But those folks, they want to know when they get in the market that they're going to have that job that supports that Guard career. So we want to be their first choice.
Yeah. So interesting. A couple of things. One, you started off as a lot technician. Now, is that just very, very basic entry level? And now you're a general manager.
It's entry level. It's kind of like what we would call in the military. That's your
private.
Your private,
you just did what you were told.
You know, and just hustle around, try not to make my dad, you know, looked at. And the great thing about them is if you show what you're able to do in this industry, you're given more responsibility. So I always like joke that I've never applied for a job. I've always been, hey, how'd you like to do this or that? And they just kind of keep giving you more responsibility, which I think is what happens in the service. You know, if you show you can apply your work ethic, your intelligence, your commitment. And I think what I've learned from my daughter is those that choose to serve, it's a calling. It's a purpose. And, you know, it could be based in many things, faith. But, you know, I was a little shocked when my daughter said she wanted to do it. But then I kind of understood. And she found her people, like the people that she is around every day. The values that they have are values that I hold near and dear. And I think back, you know, maybe I missed my calling. You know, I think those that serve, they have that purpose mentality, and it's pretty cool. So I'm enjoying it from afar as a dad to see all the stuff she's getting exposed to, the travel she's been able to do, the people she's met, the way she's being trained, tested. It's just it's an amazing career.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back. We'll kind of talk a little bit about the proclamation ceremony, the process, all those good things and the hard work that went into being named a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon company. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. In the studio with me, I have Sherry and Greg from the Walzer Automotive Group. And Sherry's the Chief Human Resources Officer, Executive Vice President, and Greg is the General Manager and Vice President out at Walzer Toyota in Bloomington. All right, so we talked about the relationships you guys have, being a spouse, being a parent of some current serving and previously serving military members. Really got the lowdown of Walzer and just what a unique organization is. And so I think we should really start talking about what we're here today to do, and that is celebrate the announcement that you were named a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon company. So a ceremony was held in November of last year to officially proclaim. So maybe one of you can kind of tell us a little bit about the event and really what it meant to you that day, that event with the dignitaries that were there.
Yeah, it was I jumped right in. Sorry.
No, that's good.
It was a proud day. I mean, I think for all the military recruiting I've done over my career, I've wanted Beyond the Yellow Ribbon or Yellow Ribbon status for a long time. And so I could not be any more competitive personally to have brought that to the company, but also to the community. So the proclamation for me was actually almost less rewarding than the actual work that we were doing along the way, because you could see the impact as we were making progress for our own employees, for the interest that we got from the community, from the VA in general and groups that we were working with. So it was really compelling to get everybody in the same room and feel like, one, you were amongst people who got it, and two, but I take our role seriously in that, and I remember telling General Sharkey at the time that we're going to make your job easier. Right, because we're gonna prove that you can work and you can support your armed forces in a way that's productive, and you know, and he challenged us to recruit the best, and he'll do the same, and so there was this really good banter that was going on around, you know, how we can support each other, because I do think that you know, the better that we do, the better that he does, and vice versa. And so there was some good camaraderie for us on that. I think the second thing is that I don't think that you had any more alignment coming out of any company that you could see during that night, that all functions were represented, right? We have opportunities for sales and service and marketing and IT and HR and accounting. All the things that happen in a dealership are similar to the MOSs that happen everywhere. And so there was eyes that were opening around the room like, I could do that. I could work here. And that is the hope. So I think as we started to work through it, we realized there were some hardcore benefits that were going to be really game changing for employees and for veterans as they decided to transition into a workforce like ours. Some of them seem obvious, but, you know, you really have to work through it and understand how you're going to make it happen in your work group. So all the things that you would expect from a wage offset and differential pay and, you know, 401k vesting and expectations that you'd have around all the increases that go in when a veteran is deployed, they still get when they come back. And so making it seamless. But it was the secondary stuff that we got recognized for, which was really cool, which was how we would treat training and how we would ensure that people were getting a great education, because I think that's where it breaks down. And so, you know, our goal was always to become part of the GI Bill. And I will say today, actually, we received our second notification that both our sales and our service training are accredited, and that you can use them from a GI Bill or Yellow Ribbon perspective. So that to me is incredible because I can marry the two things that I think veterans are looking for, which is that financial offset as well as the opportunity. So to me, all of that work that led up to that night was amazing, and to see as meant as much connection between those that were coming from to recognize us felt that we were in it together. So yeah. proud moment.
And so as you were initiating this process and going through the work, that rewarding time frame that you're really talking about, right, did you find that there were a lot of things that as an automotive group within HR, for example, you were already doing a lot of these things in compliance with
100%.
The rules?
Yeah.
Was there anything that you found that you were like, oh, this is something we really need to make sure we get after?
From a compliance perspective and all my years of USERRA and working through the things that I they're just inherent to what I do. So that part, there was nothing that I needed to get after on those things. What I need to get after is I think the mentoring side and the connection that you assume can organically happen sometimes in a work group, it doesn't always happen. You know, it doesn't. And Greg and I work through scenarios hand to hand on a very regular basis relative to when a veteran joins and the manager who's overseeing them may not be a veteran. Mm-hmm. And so when I started to see the chemistry, because Walzer is very much about chemistry with employees, and I do say that our reputation isn't one big thing we do. It's a lot of little things that we do. And so when you have 2,000 employees and you have managers that are overseeing them who may not have the same context for veteran life, how can I bring that mentorship, sense of community, which is everything to a veteran? And then how can you ensure that they begin speaking each other's language? Because it's a very important thing as it pertains to the efficiency of the hiring process and selection, but more so that onboarding and connection. It's got to be there. And so Greg and I work on a lot of things. That's probably where my early kind of aha moments were, and the stuff that I'm working on now is still on mentorship and training and the onboarding process of veterans into the work group.
And did this work start at the corporate level then, or did it come and start with like a dealership, like, you know, Bloomington, for example? How did it actually start get rolling?
So I'll say how I think all things should get rolling, right? I think you have to have leadership buy-in and you have to believe that there's something important that you want to do and that you have the leadership buy-in. But uniquely, I think Andrew and I see this very much the same way. Employees tell us what's important to them. So whenever I'm going to start an initiative and we have resource groups, Women of Walzer,
yeah.
Veterans of Walzer, we have these resource groups, not because Greg or I said, oh, that's a great idea. Employees came to us and said, hey, what about this? And so employees came to us, and VAW, which is our Veterans at Walzer group, was probably the loudest cry we had from employees to come, start this resource group. That's actually how it started. Employees Oh. came to us. We had other resource groups, and so and having played in the resource group space before, veterans usually come forward. And when there's an opportunity to, you know, create a command, if you will, or a presence, they will. So it was probably our fastest one that we built. We're almost close to 200 members that we have right now inside the company. So 10% of our population is part of VAW. And then it took off from there.
And Greg, so, you're the executive sponsor for the Veterans at Walzer. So were you like day one, you signed up and said, I'm going to be the sponsor. How did you get involved or brought into it?
I was tapped on the shoulder.
The yes. S1.
That's yeah. a great one. Yeah. So, oh, look at you using the language.
You know, it's interesting because at this time when this thing was born, my daughter was in the ROTC and is a natural, I mean, to have me involved with it. And then we had one of our general managers who's a ex-Air Force guy as our president. So he just recently rotated out. We've got some new leadership coming in now. But yeah, I was going to say when you were speaking, Sherry, I thought about like the ceremony. It really started with VAW. That's where the roots were tended to, and we did some great things in that group. And we're like, well, what about this? And how do we recruit here? And how do we support the community there? And it's just these ideas just started multiplying with the people that were in this resource group. And then, you know, why not? And your experience, Sherry, really was the catalyst. I mean, working for big companies before she came to Walzer, and in this space, the talent that is out there that companies don't understand how to get it into to the organization, because it is probably a challenging transition. That's what I've learned. The thing that I think about 4 years down the road or 20 for my daughter, I think it's a different space. I think the civilian life and the military life, they're so different. And that communication, that understanding of what people might think is just absolutely crazy when they get out and go, well, that would never fly here. But we are a little bit more cavalier, a little bit more loose, and it's just what we know. But those folks that are joining us are like, there's a different way. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where sometimes things can go sideways in those first few weeks without a mentor, without an understanding of where this person has been for the last 20 years or 4 years, whatever it might be. So we want to make sure we make that transition smooth, and then we get those talented folks on our team, and they can provide for themselves in the community. And we have some great examples of that we had working for us that somehow made it into the company without any really, like we say, on-ramps, off-ramps. You know, what's that off-ramp look like where you get them in and go, yeah, this, I could do this. Automotive's got some great things that align with my skills that I learned for my 16, 20 years. So.
Well, it's interesting is, I don't know what the statistic is, but I think it's pretty high that transitioning military members, the first job they go into after they get out is not lasting very long. There's a very generally a pretty quick exit strategy just because of some of the things that you highlight. And I think that's why it's so important to have a company, an organization that recognizes, hey, we got to bring this person under our wing, do some mentorship coaching and help them to understand this transition. Because the world I'm in right now, like 10 minutes early isn't the same. Like, I mean, in the military, like you're already late, you know? So that was a hard thing for me to adjust to, you know? But anyway, we have to do another quick break here. We'll come back. I want to dive in a little bit more about some of the very specific things you guys are doing over at Walzer and things that are coming up in the future. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. In the studio with me today from Walzer Automotive Group is Sherry Schultz, the Chief Human Resources Officer and Executive Vice President, and also Greg Davis, General Manager and Vice President of Walzer Toyota. In the last segment, we were talking about that ceremony, and you'd mentioned General Sharkey and, just some of the bantering and challenging that each of you had as it relates to training and things like that. And one of the things I want to talk to you about is, you mentioned an importance for recruiting, for hiring veterans, for service members. And you guys have a goal to hire a certain number of veterans. So tell us a little bit about that and then why you feel it's so important to, really increase your veteran service member population.
Well, I think the number we put it out there. We said, okay, let's get 50 in our first year. Well, we're at 23, so I'll blow it away. I believe that we'll do more than 50 since November. So I think we're on our way. And so putting that number out there was a sense of community, because I do think, and I've had some experiences before where one or two veterans, it's great. But 100 or 200 make a really big difference, because there is a community and there is a network for them. And with numbers and with mass comes connection. And that creates a little bit of a backdrop for things that I think are just far more sustainable than just the ones or two. So I went after mass, but I think I'm going to say two things, because I think to a degree, put a line in the sand personally on some of this as well. And one of the things that I said to the community and to the VA when we started working with them on a lot of different initiatives was, one, I will have an always open door for any veteran that has that needs to take a beat, having a moment, if things aren't going well. And Greg he sees this in action with me. If something's not right, come to me in any way, shape, or fashion before you either leave or pop off in a negative way or have a bad day. Just come to me. Yeah. And so de-escalation, I think, is a strength or something that I feel strongly about in a way that's very compassionate but also professional. So that's number one. And number two, at Walzer, we will interview any veteran at any point. So I do not say no to any veteran, regardless of what they've done, what their MOS has been, or where they are in their retirement or transition out. So the reason for that is because I think there's such a fear for veterans to go in and assume that they're going to not get an interview because or don't know how to explain their resume. So we cut all that out. Just come and talk to us. So I spend a lot of time every week doing a lot of exploratories all over the country, honestly, or referrals from other veterans or individuals that come from one of our community partners that are saying, hey, this guy or gal is having a difficult time getting started. Can you help them? One of the other things that we do is we do a really fun assessment, which doesn't talk about what they did specifically. It talks about who they are, which, by the way, is so much easier than me trying to translate or them trying to translate to me the skills that they have. So it's more conversational. Yeah. And they can get drawn in on exactly the things that that we want to know about them, which is what motivates you, what decelerates your interest, yeah. what gives you energy. So those types of things were the line in the sand. We were going to make it easy for veterans to have that experience of interviewing.
Yeah. So I got one quick question for you, and then I want to make sure that we get Greg in the conversation. When you talk about the veterans that you're working with, for them coming in, and you know, you're talking about de-escalation, all of those types of things, I'm assuming that this isn't just for veterans, though. I mean, you guys have that same level of care, compassion for everybody. Mm-hmm. It's just this is a way in which we highlight it because of some of those things that you've already talked about, where maybe someone's just not fitting in right now.
Yeah, I think in the end, I also think veterans are the last to reach out for help. And yeah. so they won't. And so I've made it. Yes, my door is open on phone going all the time. That's true. And yeah. and Greg, he has the same exact situation because he hits him first on the down at the store yeah. and then I'll get the call.
Well, we're going to talk about that. And real quick, though, you talked about a relationship with the VA. Are you talking about like the Minnesota Department mm-hmm. of Veterans Affairs? Yeah. Because that's where some of that education benefits come from, too,
on the state side. That's how they did it. But also, yeah. you know, they also impressed upon us to do dedicated employee assistance plans for veterans, which we have done. And we're working with our EAP providers because I think, it has to be something that a veteran is comfortable with.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like it's a sympathy play. It's not that. It's right. a training exercise.
Yeah. So, Greg, as a general manager, right, one of the things that we often try to really promote as it relates to veterans or employing service members is a different skill set that comes along with that person. And so I'm just wondering if there are some things that you've identified that you really see in those service members or veterans that come to work inside of, say, your place there in Bloomington.
It's a great question or a great point. I think you said it earlier, that commitment to the details, showing up on time early, things like that. They're fully committed to doing a good job, and they see things in a world that's maybe a little bit more black and white, which we need in our world sometimes. I think sometimes, you know, in a people-centric business, as much as we want to be everybody's friend and make connections, when I go to service my car or buy a car, I don't want to hang out there all day. You know, yeah. I want you to check me in properly. I want you to give me proper updates on what's going on with my car. If I'm buying a car, the same thing. I don't want to spend all day there. And you commented earlier, you like the way we handle the business. We are yeah. very transparent. We give you all of our information up front. It's a no-hassle, negotiation-free environment. We want that to be the case for the employees, too. We want to be very upfront, very transparent, collapse time, you know, do things remotely. So I think those types of folks that come from that background, they understand that. They understand efficiency, right? We do things in a certain way. So those skills really do help us in many ways.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? I've shared this before, and you know, I told you guys ahead of time that I've been a Walser customer for a long time, so it has nothing to do with the fact they became a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon company, but because I do appreciate the things that you're talking about, right? No haggling on pricing is one of them. Service, it is just – I have never had an experience like I have when I go, and I use both Honda and Mazda in Burnsville. And you know what? I do. I get checked in timely. I get a normal update on my phone, which I thought was really cool. The first time I got a video, I'm like, oh my God, that's what it looks like underneath my car, you know? All of those things. And it is. It's not like a rush to get me in and out, but it's timely. And my time is important just like everybody else's. So I appreciate that. Okay, we've got like 3 minutes left in this segment. But I do want to real quick hear from you guys each. What is or how important is what's happening now within Walser, a Beyond the Yellow Rim company? How important is it to you when you think about your tie to the military? And I'll start with you, Greg.
Like I may have mentioned earlier, I think about my daughter's future, my son-in-law's future. I want more companies to be doing what we're doing so that there's all these landing places and there's a better understanding of what that looks like. Because it's the least we can do. We talk about supporting that community, but are we really doing that in the business community? Can we make that transition easy? And maybe those odds that you said where it's very low that they might land that first job and actually keep it because there's a disconnect. Mm-hmm. What if it was the opposite? What if yeah. people could get into those first jobs and that's their next career for 20 years? If we understood the things that maybe are the pain points.
Yeah. What about you, Sherry?
I think that it's this, the scope and the reach that we can have if we do it well. I think, you know, when you look at the 2 million active soldiers right now that we have, and then take a household of, you know, 3.15 in this country, you've got, you know, 10 or 11 million people floating around connected to this mission. And I think that not only from an employment perspective, but their spouses and family members, I think it matters for their employment too. So while when I say veteran hiring, it's super important that we think about their transition, the families also are a part of that. And when I think about the number of times that a veteran is moving and changing stations and the spouse is trailing, well, I take that into consideration when I think about employing spouses of veterans as well. So the reach is really great, and I think that in the end, the purpose that a family has to support a veteran wants the same thing back for their family, right? They don't want their kids and spouses to suffer when they're gone as well. So I think we can do it on both fronts, for the veteran and the spouse.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. You know, you guys were proclaimed in November. It's been a long process. But have you gotten calls from other automotive type groups saying, hey, what are you guys doing over there? And, you know, maybe you're doing some motivation to get others on board.
I think our OEM partners, the Toyotas, the Hondas, the Mazdas, the General Motors, they are very happy. They've been in this space and done very well for years. So it hasn't happened yet, but hopefully it will.
After this segment or this show airs, maybe you'll start getting some calls. All right. We're going to take another quick break here. We'll come back. We'll wrap up. This will be, well, our last segment, but it's been great so far. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. In the studio with me from Walzer Automotive Group, Sherry Schultz and Greg Davis. Great conversation so far, and we really appreciate the work that you've put into, you know, getting the proclamation. We know that it doesn't end at a proclamation. And so, Sherry, I'm just wondering if you might be able to talk a little bit about what do you do now for those who are still serving, though? Because, you know, there are 13,000 National Guard soldiers or airmen still here in Minnesota. And I'm assuming that you've got some of those soldiers or airmen working for you at one of your sites. How do you take care of them as a current employee?
Yeah, it's funny. So two prongs. One, yes, we have several right now, and I actually have three that are deployed. And so I think the education associated with what do they need when they're gearing up for deployment, but also how am I helping my managers understand this, right? And so what does it mean, and what are you doing in their absence, and how are we communicating with them? So I'm super proud of the teams that helped. We do a hail and farewell, so we welcome them back when they return, but we send them off. And myself and my CEO do that. And so we go to the locations and we have a lunch and a best wishes, be safe party for them. And so we do all of that. And so that to me says it's working, right? Because the system is working. And so our guard is getting what they need from the service, but we are retaining and getting somebody who's really interested to come back. So one, we're actively supporting their deployments and making sure that they're feeling, one, from a wage perspective, the differential is in place, two, that everything that they have is continuing to vest and all the things that you would imagine in terms of our financial programs are still working. But guess what? We're checking with their parents. We're checking with their family and spouses. We invite their family and spouses to various events that we have so that they don't feel like they're left out and that we're still keeping our arms around the family, so secondary outreach. So that's been super important. And then the other thing that I think really helps that's helping the whole thing come together is I did hire a dedicated veteran recruiter. He'll start in May, but he keeps coming to every event and keeps supporting us on everything because he's just finishing up his school and he is joining us in May. So I'll have a dedicated resource because I will say, as much as I'm passionate and Greg is passionate as a father, I'm not a veteran.
Yeah.
And so I can speak as a spouse. But I need someone who can speak firsthand working on the HR team. So that was it's a big hire for us, and we're really excited that he's joining us very shortly. So that's going to be another way that helps maybe bridge the gap.
I think that ties right into the conversation we had previously, right? These acronyms and things that are the jargon that gets thrown around. And if you've got someone who's been in that space meeting with someone at whatever the outreach event is and they're talking about their service, you've got someone, a recruiter, who can help to translate. Because you kind of mentioned it before, right? Even though you say you'll always take the interview, there is often still a translation or a lost in translation dialogue. And so it's important to have someone that can explain some of those things.
Yeah, he's going to be great. Cannot wait. Every day. Counting down the days.
Yeah. Are you guys hiring now?
Absolutely. We're hiring every day, all the time, every hour of the day. Yes, yeah. We're hiring.
So from a perspective as a general manager at Toyota in Bloomington, what are some of the positions that you're really looking to fill right now?
That's a great question. I mean, throughout a calendar year, we might have at any one time, Sherry, what you think, half dozen openings for sales, for qualified technicians. And I like the entry-level spots. We talked about my journey. I think that's a great place to find some of those younger folks, or even people are just not sure if they want to go all in. You can learn a little bit about who we are, understand our culture, test drive us, so to speak. We get to test drive you, and then we give you more opportunities. So we're always looking for a lot of roles that are entry level, but sometimes there's ones that are a little bit higher up on the totem pole, as they say. But we always want to find talented people.
Yeah, absolutely.
The two things that I would call out, the sales and service entry level positions that Greg is referencing, are also accredited training programs. So if you are a GI recipient or GI Bill recipient, you can use the offset as your wages increase. And so we've built that with the VA and just got our accreditation, which I said earlier in the show. So sales, which would be selling the vehicles, and service advising, which would be the people that greet you at the drive and are helping you to understand what your vehicle needs. And so both of those training programs, the CS one is 30 days and the service advising one is 2 weeks and 2 days. And when they come out of that, they should be pretty well equipped. So it's the basic training, if you will, for these positions. And then they can hit the floors and are running. Yeah. And so what I love about it is that I have that accredited offset. And so there's no fear anymore because I'm going to offset you.
Yeah. So we've got just over 4 minutes, and I've got two things I want to make sure we get to, because I want to hear about what kind of advice you guys might have for others. But you had mentioned that you're actually doing some work on campus to promote. So can you maybe expand on that just a little bit for us here?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why the recruiter was hired, because he was hired off of U of M and he's in the Guard. So when we talk about that, we found so many veterans that were coming to us on campus. And we do an intern program across every function that we have. So we do an internship that runs 12 weeks, and we hope to convert to a full-time hire at the end of that. The number of veterans that approached us on these campuses
is like a 2-for-1. You're getting this young person that's wanting to join us, and he's a veteran or going to be a veteran, you know, in the Guard.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Well, we appreciate that. So let's talk about advice, Sherry. I want to start with you from a spouse perspective, right? What kind of advice do you have to maybe a new military spouse?
I wish somebody gave it to me, you know, because if I could go back and tell my husband, I'll do it better next time, I will, because those deployments were tough. And so two pieces of advice I'd say. One, understand your community. You need support too, and strengthen it. Being a strong spouse means that you still have to fill your own cup so that you can be there for your family and that things don't fall apart and that, you know, yes, you miss them and yes, you're sad or you feel like you're maybe a little bit overwhelmed. But the more that they feel you're on top of it, the better it is for them and they serve better with less worry. And so I'm really committed to, you know, being strong when your spouse or significant is deployed. But I think probably what I thought I could do better was when he returned, just listening and being there, not trying to fix everything but just listening. And the stories that they come home with, they're not war stories or things they did on a weekend. It's our history as a country. And if I could just impress upon spouses, it is their life that puts a page in the book of the United States. And I heard many stories and I listened with a very, you know, open heart because of what he went through. And I guess just being present when your veteran returns and, you know, just really listening to their stories because you're the person they're going to tell, even if you don't get it, because I didn't always get it, but just it's a page in history and listen to it with an open heart.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. And actually the soldiers, the airmen, those who are deployed are given similar advice when they come back of don't be overbearing. Don't try to take things over. Going back to the way it was before you left, because it's not, regardless of how hard or how much you believe it will be. It isn't. We've got less than 2 minutes. And Greg, I want to make sure I get you an opportunity. Any advice you might have to parents of someone who's serving?
Yeah, similar to Sherry, I think support them first and foremost. Be a good listener. You know, a lot of them, it is their calling. They have a purpose-driven reason for joining. Maybe it's not that, but whatever the reason is, support them. They're going to need it. And just be compassionate. And I'm just excited with all the work we're doing. You asked a question earlier. I want to follow up on that. The way you get better at this is just by connecting with all the other people in the community that are already doing it. Like, there's some great businesses in the Twin Cities that we leaned into, not just veteran organizations, yeah. but ones that are just businesses that have leaned in. So that's been helpful for us. And, of course, Sherry brings so much knowledge and experience to this. So
yeah. Well, in this last minute, I mean, that's always one of the things we like to ask, right? Because after today, 70 radio stations, a national broadcast, someone's going to hear this story, and they might be on the fence. And so, Sherry, you know, you were, you know, really, really integral in what happened here. What do you tell those companies who are thinking about it, other automotive groups too?
Yeah, I think have a people strategy, right? I can't tell you have a veteran strategy, have a diversity strategy, have a training strategy. Have to have a people strategy first, right? Because the thing that we always say, we're not exploiting any one particular group. We are there for people, and veterans are people. And so yeah. I believe in them. And, you know, I think my network is 80 million of them relative to their families and children. And, you know, I think they need to know that. So lean in on your people strategy, and it will come to you.
Awesome. Well, great advice. We appreciate you. We know that the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon entity and organizations are there to provide support as well. So, Sherry, Greg, thanks so much for spending some time with us here.
Thank you for having us.
All right. Thank you, Doug. Yeah, you bet. That's Sherry Schultz, the Chief Human Resources Officer, Executive Vice President, Walzer Automotive Group, and Greg Davis, the General Manager and Vice President of Walzer Toyota. Thanks for tuning in to Minnesota Military Radio. We appreciate your continued support. We strive to bring you quality content each week and look forward to hearing your feedback and suggestions for future topics and guests. Please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, click on Contact Us to send us your thoughts, questions, or recommendations. Next week, we visit with the Army Corps of Engineers. Be sure to tune in for this episode and visit MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com to catch up on past shows. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a productive week and that you find a moment to thank and honor those who have served and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so that we can all enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.